Are you going to repeat the question then? After the intro?
Don't. Bro, I got too many. They just made me laugh.
Where'd you get this sound from?
What?
Where'd you get this sound from?
Like all the different sound effects?
No, I guess this what's playing.
Oh, the soundboard? Oh, the music right now?
Yeah.
I think it was something like pre-programmed on this Rodecaster.
Oh, really?
Man, you know when...
I thought you came up with it or something.
Nah, man, when you're one of them boys, you know? It's like... Oh, what happened? Well, anyway... Intro's over. Yeah. Welcome back to another week's episode of Architecture Matters Podcast. You're listening to Nicholas Trevino and...
Jorel Vila Hernandez.
Man! That last name. What are we going to talk about today? Today we're going to talk about some differences and talk a little bit on, you know, Jorel's interpretation of, like, education, what he learned there, nothing... work, what he's learning there, still nothing, and then some difference between. Okay. After this, I'm gonna have to teach you, you know, on the laptop, so you could be when I say stupid stuff like that, you could be like,
stop the
cat. Yeah, I was looking for that button.
But I can't let you do it now. You know, I gotta give you a little bit of power. Yeah. You know, I can't give you too much power, man.
I like it.
But yeah, you know, Diana and I I'm pretty sure we've spoken on this on a previous episode. But you and I were gonna, you know, from your experience, because you know, we're all different, right? I mean, I'm still better. But.
It's 2023.
You know? It's 2023. You know, we all think differently. You know, our minds evolve. But we're also going to try and tie it into a little bit of you know, in the professional life, in the career. I'll start off in, like, you know, I think big differences between education and like architecture school versus, you know, being I started in 2020, so it's been 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. It's been 4.5 years. I've been working professionally for 4.5 years.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Four and a half.
Right? 2020, all of 2020, all of 21, all of 22. And it's, no, I'm sorry, 3.5. 3.5.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I've been working 3.5. So I think the big difference from like education, which I did for, I think it was like 5.5 years because I transferred so much, and then working for 3.5 years is the creativeness versus the practicalness, right? And there's still a little bit of both in each other. Some creativeness and obviously a lot in school, and there's still some in work, and we'll get to that. But then, you know, there's some practical in school, depending what school you go to. But then, like, there's like an overabundantly, L. Hey, I mean, yo, hey, it just is what it is. I'm gonna keep it 1,000 with y'all. Like, that school is garbaggio, bro. What did I learn?
Absolutely nothing,
bro. I'm gonna just get to it, bro. What do you think the purpose of studio and architecture is, bro? It's to teach you how to design and bring your ideas to life. But at the end of the day, nothing, bro. It just teaches you how to teach yourself. Like, honestly.
Oh, yeah,
Dude, it's supposed to do other things, but does it really?
Man, you paid all that money for it.
Hey, man, you know what? At least I got accepted and I graduated. And, I mean, tears, bro.
Well, it's kind of crazy because a lot of people that want to teach or they want to, I guess, not...
Wait, what are they doing?
Oh, I'm getting there.
No, you said they want to do what?
Teach.
Man, I messed up. That's an L. There you go.
You know, they want to teach or they want to stay in the educational side. they
of architecture
or of architecture, okay. You know, they
it's not bad. I'd consider it eventually when I'm like 80, when I'm older, when I retire.
It's less stress. No,
I just want to do a studio or
that would be fun
or a digital class because I like BIM software. Mm. But other than that, I want a history.
No, dude.
And some whack elective construction, bro. You don't want me teaching that.
No, that construction.
Yeah,
no
definitely
way,
no.
Nah, no way.
They'll be like CLT. What? Oh my gosh. But yeah, okay. My bad. Keep good. Keep going.
Oh, well, you know, like I feel like some people want to just get on with it, and they graduate, and they go to. You know what we do, mm-hmm. and sometimes like it's not for them, you know. And they,
so why why do you think that? Why do you think? Do you think it's because it's so far off from what we were doing in school?
I think that's one of like definitely one of the reasons why. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it drives.
Watch what you say now. This is out in the internet sphere.
I mean, no, I'm just playing. Whenever you graduate, you know, after, you know, some long 5, maybe 6 years of, you know,
seven, eight
of school teaching you architecture. And keep in mind that in school, mm-hmm. it's mainly about boxes. How creative and how outgoing you can be.
Yeah.
Whereas... you know, once you graduate and you come to the real world,
mm-hmm. it crashes. When you get hit with reality.
Yeah, all your dreams, they're, you know.
Gone.
Out the like window. It's like FBI, you know. Yeah. FBI comes in to knock on the door, you know, crushing your dreams. Because you come to find out that your you know, columns are the shape. Of you know
no more star columns.
Floating columns.
Wait, Harrell, you're telling me when you enter the job force, it's not all rainbows and sunshine and golden gates and pearly roads and.
I wish it could be like that. Sorry to break it to you.
Welcome to the reality, folks. Yeah.
And some you know, it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not for everybody. And there's no shame in it, you know. Like there's if you can work in a high pressure environment or like a place where you have to meet deadlines mm-hmm. every you know, every month, every 2 weeks, every 6 months, you know, and you're good at, you know, I guess drawing,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you can find good use for this type of field, but mm-hmm. it's not for everybody, you know.
So you mentioned something, and I'm glad you did. So you know, I don't gotta go fishing, mm-hmm. but you mentioned like high pressure environment, deadlines. I mean, we all know about that lifestyle in school.
Yeah.
So what would you say? It's like in school and in the workforce and architecture office, in both aspects, in both scenarios. There's definitely high work, high stress, and deadlines. Sure. What's the difference between the two types of deadlines and stress factors, et cetera?
Well, in school, you're doing a design that's your own, right?
So what's the difference?
Well, here you could be working on a project where you're not constrained by a client, mm. and maybe you're not in the design team.
Yeah.
You know, for specifically.
Right.
So. You're working, it's more of a collaborative, let's say in terms of school, I think it's more of a like a collaborative group project.
Really?
Yeah, because the design, whatever the design is, it ain't necessarily come from you if you're not, you know, in the design team. You helped.
Well, you're talking about in school.
Yeah.
How's your studio project collaborative? In school.
Oh no! I mean, like in the workforce.
Oh, in the workforce.
But
okay,
in
okay,
school,
okay.
In school,
I had to run that back for you. I think you were a little bit confused. No. I was like, you're confusing the audience here.
In school, you know, it's your own design, and
it's solo.
It's solo, and maybe it's not. Maybe it's two or three, but you're still, you know,
it's still solo, even when it's two or three.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, you know, and
when you get that one partner, they're like, "You triggered my trap card." Like, I ain't doing no work.
My duty is show up for like, you know, like they you know, but whatever. I mean, I think in school, you have more ownership, more, you know, more liberty to do what you like. You don't have someone, you know, nitpicking on you, sure. You know, like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do this.
I mean, the professors material. Do. The professors do, but definitely not to that certain extent. I think there's levels, like if we're going 1 to 10 with how strict these regulations and high stress and deadlines, I would say work is probably at a 9 or a 10 with poor management.
Yeah.
But I think with good management, I think it would be like at a 7 or an 8. Because it's still gonna be high stress. I think school, it can be an 8 or 9.
8 or 9.
8 or 9 stress level, but personally, I made it an 8 or 9 for myself. I would say typically, it's probably like a 5 or you know.
Yeah.
It could be a 7 or 8 like during deadlines. But like, bro, for one day, that high stress, like if it's a 10 for one day, but a 4 the rest of the semester, I mean, bro, you're chilling.
Dude, but like, that's one thing, like the differences between school and work, right?
Talk to me.
But dude, talk to me, Goose. What about the intern?
Man.
Dude, think about it.
Day and night.
Dude, the intern?
Especially people who intern during school.
Like, oh yeah,
they go to studio on Monday, and then Tuesday they go to work, and they're like, bro,
it's apples totally and oranges, different.
Totally different.
You know, you expect to, you know, like, you're not even drawing a wall, you know.
What do you mean? Do you think interns draw walls?
No, well, like, you know, you're probably going to do something that's like, you know, the stuff that's
finishing a project.
Yeah, you know, you have to, you know, pick up red lines, and they have to be very simple or stuff that's so repetitive, you know, like doing door schedules, the stuff that nobody wants to do. Like, that's reality. You know, most likely an intern's going to be doing stuff.
I kind of like doing schedules sometimes, though.
Oh, you do?
Well, yeah, I think I'm just a different type of breed. Know what I mean?
A dog.
I'm a dog, bro. I need the sound effect for that. I mean, honestly, like on that intern and like door schedule, topic. I like schedules for two things. One, it's easier than what people think. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, it's so hard to like do this and that. If it's modeled correctly, and you know how to filter out a schedule, it's very easy. And so that's one. Two, if I do it, I know it's going to get done right. Like, we're not going to have duplicates. You know, we're not going to have the same door going into multiple different rooms. So then the room name says varies. Mm. We're not going to have, you know, two different BO3s or like, you know, there's a BO3 and a BO4, but they're the same size, same width, height, everything. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. That's something school did teach, besides teaching myself, is how to be very like meticulous. So like, I can find those little like screw ups where it's not necessarily a bad thing. If you have two doors that are the same, like literally the same, you can, you know what I mean? I mean, it's easier just to combine them.
Yeah, but I feel like not everybody wants to do that. Like,
right? No, like they're not.
You know, like how this field is not for everybody. I think most people don't want to do that. Like,
right? There's a lot of tasks within specifically what we do, multifamily architecture, that people just aren't interested in.
Yeah.
But it kind of the, I'm not saying it's the backbone to the constructability of the project, but it's the back, I think it could potentially be the backbone to the financial aspect.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of things that people don't want to do, like life safety or schedules, right? But that gets you through the city, and that saves the client a lot of money.
Yeah. Like, you know,
which are things that you don't think about in school.
You don't.
You never did one schedule.
No.
In school. I looked at my schedule, my school schedule, but I never did a building schedule.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think what are some things that we do here in the office regarding our project that you think would have been beneficial to do in school? For example, don't say doing sections. Maybe you can say wall sections, but I did one or two in construction class, so I can't really say wall sections. You know what I mean? I would say schedules and like what other things that we didn't do in school that you think would have definitely helped us prepare for reality.
prepare for reality?
The reality of what we do here in the office. Your favorite.
Dang, I think the sooner, you know, you break the ice and say, okay, this is how it actually works. But in
what aspect?
Well, you know, like
how a building is put together.
Yeah, how like your five-story storefront is probably gonna get
and there's no structural members breaking it up every 12 feet. That thing
is floating. You know, like,
bro, they just painted blue in Photoshop. That's all they did.
You know, I think.
Wait, so you didn't learn that?
Huh?
You didn't learn that?
What?
I mean, I'm pretty sure someone told me about, like, you know, your glass, your storefront can only be so high, 10, 12 feet.
Well, sure, but that's not everybody, you know? You learned it. Like,
oh, where are you going to school? Went to the same school.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing. I mean, definitely there are several, you know.
On that one, because I got one for you. When do you think that should be implemented? What year, what studio? And why? Because like Studio One is still like, for me, it was still hand drawing. Mm-hmm. We didn't use any digital applications. Now they are. Studio Two was still, you know, hand drawing. Three was when it was like, okay, let's get into Rhino.
Yeah.
But if you're just learning Rhino, you can't bring in constructability. So like, or would you rather Studio be a little more fast paced so that you can learn constructability earlier? Or, you know, storefronts being 50 feet.
Well, dude, I don't think I ever designed something and heard, okay, that's not possible.
Even though it probably was impossible.
Yeah. Mm. Like, no one, I don't know if it's a way that I was designing.
Hey, I'm going to keep it 1,000. You didn't have Pearl as a reviewer?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to keep it 1,000. There was definitely some critiques that would do that, but
probably. But you know, people from outside and critiques, yeah. You know, they,
I think they're a little nice.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if you're a critic, you know, like a just any person that wants to, you know, is invited to do, mm-hmm, like a critique. You know, they're not. They're obviously thinking, okay, these people are students and they don't know nothing. You know, mm-hmm, and so they're probably going to judge and the project based on the knowledge, you know, mm-hmm, that they probably have. You know, they, you know, like,
yeah,
they're not gonna go, okay, do you know, does that meet, you know, ADA? They're not gonna go do that, you know.
Right.
Is that ramp 8%, 8.333%?
Like, open up, this doesn't fit.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they don't. But when do you think they should have started doing that?
I think definitely in the, you know, in the probably Studio 4 probably started implementing it.
What was that for us? That was, oh my gosh, when did I transfer? 1, 2, 3, 4. I redid three with Shacklet. That was the rec center. 4. That was a rec center? I think it was a rec center. Because I transferred in and it was that
about house, right. Yeah.
So I think for me personally, because I did transfer and I got held back those two studios, if we did a different project that wasn't a rec center and it was more practical, I would have been prepared. But do you think you or people you know would have been prepared? Because from what I remember in Studio 3, right before the rec center, y'all were just learning Rhino.
Yeah.
So one semester of Rhino, and then do you think the next semester you're ready to be implementing some code?
Oh, definitely not. If we're talking about code, I probably need it for masters, dude.
Well, yeah, no, definitely for masters. But you mentioned,
ain't nobody burning their brain.
You doing mentioned that, ADA dude. Though. So like,
oh sure. Well,
let's say fair housing. Let's just say fair housing. Mm. Keep it simple, because we did a lot of housing at Tech.
Yeah.
At the end.
Mm-hmm.
So but we never implemented fair housing.
No, even for the rec center. Right, you would think,
bro,
dude. No one told me. Okay, you can't do that,
bro. You know? My swimming pool and my tennis courts were not regulation.
No,
no.
What was it?
I did a lazy river. And I did like a half size or 3/4 tennis court because it didn't fit on my roof.
Oh, really?
It was too big. So I had to shrink it down to fit my roof.
Dang.
Yo, my design was fire for that product. I'm not going to
lie. I think you showed me.
The white one and like the roof curved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the it was cool because the roof curved, but the floor plan angled.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't match. The floor plan didn't match the roof plan.
Dude, I did this that's structure.
A pro gamer move, by the way. Expert opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my rec center was covered in this structure that was it had like a this fabric.
Structure?
Yeah. This fabric. It had this fabric.
Yeah.
And it trapped like a polluted air or something like that.
Oh, dang. Mm. Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And did it reuse it in any way or do anything with it?
Huh?
Did it do anything with the polluted air or reuse it in anything?
Well, we'll get there in 5 years.
Actually, that brings up an interesting thing that I've always thought about. A lot of people, a lot of people did talkitecture. So they're
talkitecture.
So they're over here presenting their big idea, their project. But I'm not saying you did it, but you mentioned the project, so I'm just gonna use that as an example. They'd be like, yeah, you know, I have this exoskeleton gridded structure, and you know, this happens, and then you know, pollution from the cars and the exhaust that seeps into the CLT, and then it somehow like travels throughout. It creates
fire.
And then it goes into the recycling bin in the garage, and it creates something, and then it energizes the building. And then like, and I'm like, so where's the drawing showing that?
Yeah,
and they're just talking. They're just talking through their project, like
snake oil merchants, you know?
Yeah, no, literally, like they're just explaining all this crazy stuff and how the building does it. Like, imagine, do you know the shed next to the vessel?
The shed.
So the shed is like
I look at it, yeah,
it's like a performing arts center. And the skin is on wheels, huge wheels. That's literally like a train track wheel.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like 5'10". Like,
dang.
Yeah, I'll show you after. And the skin literally on the wheels pulls forward.
Oh.
And then it encloses that outdoor area, so the venue becomes bigger.
Nice.
Now check this. If you're explaining that verbally, but your model doesn't do it, you don't have drawings or sections showing that.
Oh,
as talkitecture, you're just talking.
They're just gonna go stop the cop.
That's like that can't happen. Like, bro, just. But here in the office, we can't do that.
Mm.
If we're gonna talk about how trash gets allocated or trash removal happens or how delivery or like the docking, like we have to actually show that that all works.
Yeah,
like in drawings, you know what I mean? Like we can't just like BS our way through it.
Yeah, well, I think that's partly why, I guess, in the real world, those dreams of, you know, kind of die.
They die quick,
and you have to be prepared for it, you know.
Major key right there. Mm-hmm. How do you think the workload relates in comparison?
In comparison? Well, here's the big one, right? At least I'm getting paid. You know, let's get real. You know?
I need the cha-ching. Yeah, I'm gonna download that one.
Yeah,
no, that's true. I think, I think personally, school had more workload.
More workload.
I think it had more workload because there was never a stopping point until it was.
Yeah, final. That is true.
Versus here, deadlines do happen, projects do end.
Yeah, and you have that 1 week or 2-3 days where like it's very, you know, mellow,
right.
And
you have typically across the board, if the company doesn't pay overtime, you have your 40 hours.
Yeah.
Now of course you're gonna work more, like 50 if you're working 60-70. I don't know what to tell you. You better be working harder during the day. Like if you're not working during your 9 to 5, I think that's the only reason you're really working like over 60.
Yeah,
you're a little
homeboy right here.
Nah, stop. You're slacking during the day. But But I think, you know, because there's a cap, there's literally a cap to it. Stop the cap of 40 hours. Like, you want to make sure you get your work done, and then you do have those deadlines. You know, you do 42, 45, 50. It's no big deal. I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But versus school, bro, if we did the calculations, if the math was mathing, bro, 80 to 100 hour weeks easily on studio.
Easy.
Easy. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. So I think the stress level is just different here, because the work's harder, but there's,
of course,
but there's less work.
Yeah.
And even though we kind of do more things, we do it indirectly. So one thing that I had mentioned,
and you have a team,
and you do have a team that,
so the stress is distributed.
The stress should be distributed. Yes. And something nice with like BIM software and having the team, having the manager, you know, it's, things are being done indirectly versus like in studios. Like I had mentioned, when you're drawing a wall in Rhino or AutoCAD, like you're just drawing a rectangle that's 4, 5, 6 inches. Nobody thinks of like 5.5, even though we learn that, even though we learn like a 6-inch stud is really 5.5 if it's wood. Nobody really draws that, because nothing's dimensioned, nothing's tagged. Versus here, if like I make, let's say, brand new project, brand new template, no walls are in it, and we don't copy it, I could go and duplicate and make a bunch of walls, but then you're the one drawing the walls.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about all the studs. You just have to trust that I modeled, made the wall correctly. Right? Versus, so like, you don't have to think about that, but that's because, like you said, it's distributed to the team, and other people are doing other things where everything is just like cohesive and being put together. Versus in school, like, you, like, I did think about that every time. Every time I start a project, I'm like, dang, how thick do I make these walls? Because you want the exterior, obviously, to be thicker than your interior.
Of course.
Or the drawing just graphically doesn't look right. But, I mean, sometimes, like, who cares? It's school.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So I think those are different types of workload. And I feel like there was never really an off day in studio.
Yeah, I feel that.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think there was a day. Dude, it was very rare where you, I feel like school, architecture school, like, it feels like you're in the middle of an ocean with just a raft, you know? You just have to,
you floating.
You just have to learn how to,
you're, you know, in, bro, survive. You're in La La Land, just trying to figure out where you're going. You're just, you know, going with the wind.
At least
I miss those days.
At least here, you know, you're not alone. You have a team.
Yeah. And you got someone to lean on.
Unless you're like that one type of guy that, you know, does everything, you know. Concept. It's concept. This dude has freaking.
So how about this? I hear you and I see you. So think about this. In school, would you say that was the mentality? You do it all because you don't have a team. You know, you kind of have to kick butt. 24/7, like, you can't rely on anyone.
Yeah,
right. That's fair to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty much for everyone.
I think that evolves in school.
That evolves in school. So now at your first previous job and at my previous job, I had a small little team, but I was pretty much doing the work myself. You know, the lead designer would design it, and then I'll have to remodel it better and finish it. I'm sure you had a small team, but you're doing single family, and there wasn't like central files, right?
Mm-mm.
There wasn't BIM 360.
No.
So only you could be in the project. Yep. So would it be fair to say that for both of us, there's still that sense of, well, I have to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
How has that transitioned? Like, has it been easy to kind of like give up some control? Because now we're in a bigger office with BIM 360, central files, you know, multiple people could be in it at once. We have to trust each other. We kind of have to let people, like, we can't, for especially for this size of project, like, unless it's a Westover or Mystic or OSU, I don't know if I should be saying these names, like, those, I have full confidence now after almost 2 years working here, I could do that with a PA and, like, you probably wouldn't even need a PM. Like, hopefully the PA would take over the PM role. Like, they would do a PMPA role, and then you and I would be, you know, you only need like 3 people for those projects.
Yeah.
Super confident. As long as it's like, you know,
consistent.
Yeah, yeah, and everything's well thought out. Like, and I'm hoping the PA really takes on that PM role. If not, then fine, a PM, a PA, me, and frick it, that's it. I still think three people, right? I think that's fair. But then, like, I'm saying that because, like, for larger projects, like the ones in Austin that we have, there's no way three people can do those.
Yeah, no way.
There's no way.
Yeah. I mean,
the topologies are just crazy.
I think, you know, it depends on project.
Yeah. But has it been easy on those bigger projects to kind of like give up some of the control? For me, it hasn't. It's still hard because I just want the project to come out so well. And I think it stems from school where it's like I had to do everything.
Yeah.
And I was the only one working on it.
Mm. I think.
So that mentality kind of carried over. You get what I'm trying to like.
Yeah, go? Yeah. Like I think me having to start two projects as of now, I think
from scratch, like from the beginning. Okay.
Because I started the B project.
Uh huh.
I don't want to mention the names.
Yeah. I already mentioned some, but
The B project.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we talked about this at some point, and now. It's gonna be the same for Mystic. I said the name. Anyway, the Mystic here in you know Ohio.
Over in Washington State. They
here in New York, man. And I think when I was doing the B project and I was taking care of everything myself, I think it got to a point.
Wait, you doing what?
Huh?
You doing what?
I was taking care of everything myself, you know, because it was only me and the project. Come on. It was just me, the PM, and no PA.
Stop the cap.
And it was just, you know, three people, but one was absent, basically.
Right. And, you know, hey, everybody's entitled to their PTO and vacation. Yeah, you know. We're just cracking jokes on you.
Yeah, yeah. And
chill out, Russ.
Wait. I'm sorry.
No. It's all jokes.
It's all jokes.
We're doing it on purpose. Hey, you know, you gotta bring up the laughter. Hey, look. One thing that I'll never forget.
What?
And I'm dead serious. A professor. I didn't even like the professor. A professor at SAC said he came into the studio right deadline week. He said, "Guys, what are you doing?" We're like, "What do you mean? What are we doing?" Well, we're hustling. You know, it's deadline week. He said, "Guys, what are you doing? Are you having fun?" We're like, bro, no time for fun. He said, "Guys, if you're not having fun, then what are you doing?" That's it, man. You got to be cracking jokes. You got to be all solid love. We a family. All right. So when you're starting up those two projects, you know, giving up the control or you weren't giving up the control.
Well, it got to that point where more, you know, teammates were being, you know, involved, they're being, you know, introduced, and I had to give up some work to them, you know, distribute this and that.
But and you were delegating and distributing.
Yeah, somewhat.
Okay.
And you know, I learned that, you know, you get kind of, you know, close to that project, and it feels like it's yours.
Well, but they call it, that's your baby.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
You do things your way, and when you hand it to someone else.
Well, hold on, bro. You can't be saying that. You got to use the right terminology.
What?
We don't do it our way. We do it the right way.
The right way.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, and
I get you though. I get you.
You know, and whenever people start doing, you know, the tasks that you at some point did, you know, you get kind of like, that's not how I'm supposed to be doing it. But you know, and people do stuff their way in different ways, and sometimes
it's not right or wrong. It's just a different way.
Different, you know. All roads lead to Rome. You know,
right?
And
not my road though.
No,
my road leads to heaven.
That's what's up.
Give me that.
You gotta keep it 100.
Hey, keep it 1,000 with me. Yeah. No, I hear you. It is. But I think that's when you mentioned, like, you know, now that you have your team to lean on and you just start to trust them, you kind of have to just
give up some,
yeah,
make a sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's important because there's other aspects of architecture that we don't learn in school, where in school there was really no work to delegate, right? There was no work to trust people on. Mm-hmm. Now in the office we can delegate, you know. Sorry, I thought it was shining. I saw something. I was like, man, he's coming early. You know, in the office,
you look at me. It's only my clothes.
Your clothes are just floating. Man, y'all wouldn't even understand. But if you do, hit me in the DMs because we might need to talk. But yeah, I think in school. In school we didn't have that opportunity. There was no work to give to someone else because not a lot of team projects. If there was, they were slacking. They weren't doing anything. Major L for them. But at work in the office, we do have that opportunity to learn stuff that school, no way school could have ever taught us this. Like mm-hmm. how to delegate, how to manage, how to be the some type of side. Leader. The business aspect. Yeah. I mean, how many meetings are we having? That's the thing. None of the professors really have practices. Right. So we can never have these lunch and learns where, you know, PICs come from like DC and other offices and can come and teach us like the financial aspect. Yeah. Right. Yeah. About like overhead and, you know, our salaries. And if you didn't know, I mean, all that information, I hope.
Of course I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, more for the listeners that like. Mm. Like all that information.
I'm not falling asleep in this. Nah.
Bro, are you sure about that? Because I be peeping you sometimes. Hey, hey, you know. You triggered my card. I'm gonna get you a video next time. Okay. So, one of the questions to end this out. Okay. Two things. How much knowledge from undergrad do you think is actually applied? If you were to give it a metric. 10%, 20%, or you can maybe say like these are the most valuable things I learned in school that are directly related. Like for me, I learned how to use Revit in school. So that's directly related. It's not the exact same, but I know where things are. I know how to tag things, dimension things. So I would say, but school didn't really teach me that, but I learned it myself in school. So I would say the knowledge of Revit directly linked to school.
Okay.
What would you say? Or you can give it a metric. Because I would say, you can think, if I give it a percentage of how much knowledge from school is actually applied in the practice, I would only say 25%, only because of how much there is. Digitally, cool. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
And design, but design in school can mean a bunch of things. Like when you're moving walls around in a unit or redesigning a unit, like in school, we learned how to draw walls, put in a door, put windows, yeah. You know, cut floor sections and all that. I think that's really the only thing that's like directly correlated. I don't think anything else we did in studio was relative.
Yeah. I think I want to say only 15% of what you learn in school is applied to
15, the real world. Hey, I guess I was being generous.
I'm not done. Hold on. Look. It's 15%, but it's still 15. That 15% is so huge because
you think that's a big 15?
I think just because it's 15% doesn't mean it's not important because what you learn in school is how to think like a designer.
Yeah, but you're not designing.
I know, but dude, I mean, If you don't know how to work around a space, and you're especially designing units, you know, that's one of the things that school teaches you. But other than that, like Revit, how to work with other people, how to manage a project, how to, you know, work in a team.
Construction types.
Bro,
honestly, I don't know why I'm so fixated on construction types. I feel like that's like, what would you think is the most important thing in architecture? If you didn't know this, you wouldn't get by.
Code.
Yeah. I mean, I think that goes in with construction types.
Yeah.
Dude, imagine starting a Revit model and using all the wrong wall types.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Ridiculous. No.
I'm just kidding.
Imagine, bro, I knew what I was doing. That was me.
That's what I said.
Bro, if you, somebody needs to go look at that, that project and be like... Like, bro, imagine doing all your units in metal stud.
Damn.
And it's a type 5 or type 3A 5-story all wood building. Mm. Or imagine using like 2x6s or 2x4s when you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have a podium and like obviously it all starts in wood, right? All the units are wood. Mm-hmm. But eventually the podium is supposed to be duplicated and turned to metal. Imagine nobody knows that. So imagine you have your own, you're over here, you know, starting your own firm, right? And you're the PIC PM on the project and you're too busy whining and dining. You're too busy, you know, talking to clients, winning projects, submitting for permits. And then you just hand it off to your intern to start a project. And this fool models it all wrong.
They don't know FHA.
Nothing work. None of the clearances work. Like, hey, by the way, this project's 2021. Oh, okay, cool. And he copies a 2019 unit. And you have ANSI.
Mm. Yeah, that's a big one.
I think that's the biggest thing. Like anything related. Like, I think fair housing for us, fair housing and building types.
Yeah.
Because with building types, it also goes into like fire ratings.
Definitely.
Which is back into life safety. Like you can't be proposing the wrong constructability within fire types.
Yeah, well, you know,
I mean, fire readings, not fire types. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's partly that's
I don't
the
I don't
sense of it. You know,
yeah, like
you don't
like I think like just drafting. I don't think that's enough.
Yeah, no way.
Ain't no way, Jose.
No way, Jose, man. Drafting just mindlessly. No. Mm-hmm. You have to either someone has to take care of it or. That's not.
But that's. I think that's too much responsibility on the PM and PA to constantly be looking and making sure, like, oh, is this tagged correctly, or oh, is it modeled correctly, or oh, is this the right fire rating? I think it's too much overhead for them. They have other things to be worrying about. I think that's our own responsibility. Like one thing I don't like is, one thing I do like is making sure, you know. In Revit, it's being modeled the right wall type or the right door. So when you tag it, you know, all the BIM information metadata is being implemented correctly.
Mm.
That way, like when someone from another office or an intern does help and we say, hey, tag the walls, we don't got to explain, oh, but it's wrong. Use a dummy, this and that. You know what I mean? Like they just tag it.
Yeah.
Like it's universal understanding of what to do when I say, tag all the walls or tag all the windows or doors.
Mm.
What is to wrap it up? What is the purpose? What do you think is the purpose of working in an office?
The purpose, huh?
Mm.
As someone new?
No. Just from your experience of working in multiple offices, single family, multifamily. You know, what do you think the purpose of working in an office is?
At least for me. I think make great buildings that serve the community, especially with multifamily. Mm. I think that's what I like about it the most.
Do you think all projects that you've worked on do that successfully, or at least try?
Not yet. I mean, none of you know our buildings or projects are brand new. I mean, they're not. You know, they're not.
What do you mean?
We don't have people living in them yet.
Oh, okay.
You know?
No, but
we'll know here soon, I guess.
Sure. But the purpose is learning of how a building can benefit the community?
Yeah, I guess, you know, not just the community, but the people that live in
the building. Oh, the people that live in. So how would a building do that? Or how do your buildings?
Meet code for one.
Oh, okay.
You know, meet code. Does it comply with all this stuff? Like, you know, is life and safety on that? You know, is the building successful and on that aspect of constructability? You know, yes. If now, what about
design wise?
Not to pace a huge part, but
what would be some elements that like
I feel like
do that for like create something special for the users or for the people who live there. My trash not being like 500 feet away.
Yeah. Well, like if we're talking about design, that, you know, that
I think courtyards, I think all of our projects have like at least two courtyards minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, they're big projects, so they should have two, you know, minimum of two, but even some projects have three courtyards.
Mm.
And I think that, like, with the width height ratio of the width of the courtyard to the height of the building, that plays an aspect of how that's going to feel and function.
Yeah.
I think that's, even though I don't use the courtyards in my apartments like often, I rarely use it. I do the dog area though. That's a good one that I think is pretty important.
Dog wash,
dude. I think my apartment has one. I think you have to pay like $10 though.
Oh really?
Yeah, but it might be worth it. It doesn't clog up my tub. Doesn't dirty my tub. Yeah. You know, $10 once a month. I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah,
Ace is worth it.
Maybe.
Anything else? You know, last thoughts, last comments, words to close it out.
If you're new, if you're just about to graduate and you're about to enter the market.
The market.
Well, you know, or the field, you know. Give it a try. It's definitely not for everybody, but give it a year, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
At least a year. And then, you know, see how you like it.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It takes a year in an office to fully feel comfortable and understand how it works.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. And, you know, that's some great advice. And really, that's why.
Experts advice.
Experts advice, man. Yeah. So, all right. Appreciate you guys. Bro, I'm just fumbling the bag.
But
anyway, I was going to say, I appreciate you guys listening. And I appreciate you coming on. Can't wait to have you again. Yeah. And anytime. Appreciate it.